Today's call is now being recorded. If there are any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We're starting out with a small crowd. Hopefully more people will join us, especially when we can vary join us.
I can't hear you at all.
Well, okay. Is that any better, Bill?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, you're quite welcome. So anyhow, as I said, while waiting on Mary, first of all, who we've got on the call at the moment? There's Constantinos, Komatis, Rafik Damak, William Drake, Amber Sterling, Brendan Kerberis, just joined. Kerberis.
Hi.
Not Kerberis. Sorry. Don't know why I did
that. Hi, Brendan.
Hey, how is everyone?
Pretty good.
That was Dr. Brendan Kerberis.
And we're
That's
on,
right,
and we're on recording now. Still waiting on Mary, who's got the primary part of the agenda. The primary part of the agenda is review items on GNSO Council agenda, then review issues from working groups for whoever's here wanted to talk about a working group, and we have at least one comment with Rafik on jazz. Then there's review of issues from constituencies and candidate constituencies, if there are any. It's up to them. I'll give them the point. So, and we have two of the chairs, Constantinos and Amber. Update on review committees. I'm hoping that our review committee team members are here. If they're not, then you know we'll just pass over that one. Talk about Singapore and then possibly for the NCSG board meeting topics. I still don't see Mary. Some reason Constantinos is trying to reach her, so why don't we skip over the GNSO agenda and look at any issues from working groups. And as I say, I know that there was at least one from Rafik. So Rafik, if you wanted to bring up the jazz issues. Are you on mute?
Okay.
Yep.
Yes. So, for the next GNSO Council call, we have the deferred motion for the GNSO Working Group to approve the report. I didn't see any response from the registry's representative as they asked before about asked the working group to respond to some questions. I will be happy to receive from them some amendments from the motion, but they didn't react since a while. I guess that the motion will be rejected. My hope, if it will be rejected, so and then to submit another motion for the Singapore public meeting, which just say the GNSO Council approve or reject the milestone report. I hope that this to be done in public for the record, as usually many times the registries and other councillor say that they support the work of judge working group, etc., etc. But I didn't see any kind of such support, even moral support. So if they don't approve the report, which was read already by GAG and board members and other members of the community, at least I want the GNSO Council to state clearly what is its position about the report, if it reject it or approve it as it is.
Anybody have questions or comments?
This is Bill. Rafik, I was in Belgrade the other day with Olivier from ALAC and other people, and was hearing different takes on where we are in this process and how well we're bringing it home and what the orientation of the board is and all these things. And I have to say I'm a little puzzled now. I'm not quite sure I have a clear read on exactly, just because I haven't been following it closely enough. I mean, I'm subscribed to the list, but I don't have time to read it. So I don't have a clear read on how we're approaching this strategically and what your realistic expectations are of the likely sequence of events. If you could just take a minute and lay that out for me, I would appreciate it, because I'm feeling a little bit I'm feeling like I don't understand some things that ought to be obvious to me, and it's probably my fault, but I'm sure I'm not the only one who's not completely up to speed on jazz. So if you could walk us through a little bit more, I should.
Okay, and this is Aubrey. I might add before Rafiq starts that, while he's perhaps gathering his thoughts at 2 o'clock in the morning, that I have rejoined that group at the last meeting. So a fair number of people, including members of at large, got in touch with me, board members, etc. I have joined it, listing myself doubly as a member of the NCSG, NCUC, and a member of the at-large as a member of two of the at-large structures, ISOC New York and ISOC Finland. So I've gone in with a foot in each of the camps and declaring myself formally in the jazz working group as a creature of both of our chartering organizations. So, Rafiq. I don't know if you want to respond to Bill.
Yeah. Okay. So, what I can say, as you know, what's happened in the last Genesis call, so we defer the motion. We offered that to, we responded to some question from registries, from and also from other council member. We spent in the jazz working group. We spent a fair time to do that, and hoping at least if we can respond to them, so the registry can offer some amendments. So they didn't propose till now. I guess I will add Jeff or other members from registry stakeholder groups.
Can I stop you there, Rafiq? Just because I understand. So the contracted parties, as you read it, are simply not going to offer any attempts to come up with something more palatable to them. They're just going to vote no, knowing that the election is going forward anyway, and the board seems keen to do something.
Hey, guys, it's Mary. I just joined the call. Sorry.
Okay. Thanks, Mary. We jumped in the middle of doing working group-related stuff, jazz, et cetera. And
right.
At the moment, we're going through the jazz motion. So why don't we continue on talking through the jazz motion, and then, and certainly you can take over chairing this part of the meeting, and then we can go back to the other motions that are before. Is that okay?
That sounds perfect.
Okay. Thanks.
And can I be in the queue for the jazz motion?
Right. So basically, Rafiq was answering some questions from Bill at the moment.
Okay. My perception. I guess the contracted party will vote no, but at least maybe they will propose some amendments for the motion and the Genesis Council call. I will accept some of them, especially if they offer like a public comment period. Even don't expect that I will approve that. But if they vote no for the motion, I guess that we can move with another motion for Singapore meeting. It's just to push them to reject the report in public. The problem I have myself, problems in the in the judge working group, because it sounds that it looks for other people from ALAC that the GNSO is not supporting the judge working group, and even some working group members complain that we don't need any more GNSO approval He just needs Alec and triggered for me issues with Stefan, etc. So the problem that Genesu is not showing any real support for the working group work, and that you know, you have some people they don't care anymore in the working group about if Genesu or not will approve or not the report. A tweak, that's my well, also I say my perception, a tweak my position as a co-chair there. So I am facing bashing from the Genesu Council, and also it's not easy to manage the working group. Hopefully,
I'm sorry, who's bashing who?
In the Genesu Council about the working group, and hopefully now, with Alfred joined the working group, I can have some support, at least from what from the Genesu. So because it's the working group, and there are a lot of ALAC members. So even now, as I speak, spoke already, maybe you saw that from Stefan emails and the council list. We were preparing for a conference call, special conference call, between some GAC and board members and working group members to discuss about the report. So we planned to have to listen to the question from the board and GAC members. We planned that for Tuesday call, so it should be tomorrow. It sounds that we some GAC and board members cannot attend, so we thought to delay that to next Friday. I hope that maybe Mary can attend as a vice chair from the Genesu Council, because it's as our charter prohibit any direct communication between the working group and board without passing through the, our chartering organization. So this that call is hosted by the ALAC. So at least if we can have like representative from Genesu Council like Mary, it can be it will be great.
This is Avery. I want to take, I don't know if there's a list of people that want to ask comments or issues. I have one. Does anyone else want to be put in a...
Yes, Mary.
Mary, okay. What I wanted to ask Rafiq was two things. One, in terms of the motion, has there been direct outreach either from you or to any of the other SGs asking them for, you know, any amendments they'd like to see to it, or even intermediate, has there been any attempt from the leadership group to try and broker some sort of amendment that could make this an acceptable motion? Because, you know, a couple of the SGs have come out and said, no, we do care, we just got problems. So if somebody could follow them up on that to see, okay, we've answered your questions, you know, where are we now? On the conversation and the charter, I thought the charter said no reports could be sent to them directly. I didn't think that the charter went so far as to say, and there could be no speaking between board members, GAC members, and the Jazz Working Group, since you have observers that are board members and GAC members, and this is just extending the conversation a little further. So I don't understand how the rule has become, you know, the group can't talk to them without the GNSO Council, but I thought it was just you couldn't send a report through to them without. Thanks. And I guess it's
okay.
Mary,
yeah.
Unless you wanted to answer mine first.
Thanks, Emily. So first,
I didn't contact directly, but I had discussion with Stefan, I think last week, because he attended as observer the jazz call, and I have discussion with him about the jazz, etc. And I passed a message to him that I am keen to receive any amendments from the contracted party about the motion. I didn't contact directly Jeff and or other members like from the registries or the registrars. For the second question, I think the word in our charter is communication. So it depends how people interpret the communication. It's just to report or to, you know, you remember the polemics that happened about the board asking for update from the jazz working group. So I don't know. It can be interpreted in many ways. So it can be just not sending report, but also not having meetings. But as you said, we have observer from both from the GAG and the board. And that's, you know, this whole discussion, if the GNSO will approve or not, the report is quite a waste of time, because they are reading already the report and they are going to have comments and questions. So the motion is, for me, is more about to have the public period comment. We want comments from the ICANN community, not just informal comment that we can get from board, from GAC, or other members from the ICANN community.
Okay, thanks. Mary, I give the floor to you, and also the chair is yours until we finish the GNSO overview, so I'll now settle back.
Okay, and
gave
thank
you enough of a
so
breathing
much.
Room. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you so much for jumping in, Avi. I apologize to everybody. I was in a different meeting in a different building that went late, and I had to run back in 4-inch heels. So, but so Rafiq, I guess I don't know if these are questions or something, but so we did a chair call this morning and talked through some of the issues that Stefan observed on the call. I would say that the motion as is will probably fail, but that neither Stefan nor Jeff want to see it fail totally. The problem beyond the motion is a perception that ALAC has pretty much hijacked the process, and that's a problem for the GNSO to deal with, maybe better communications with ALAC. Unfortunately, that activity, I guess, has spilled over to some extent to the process within JAZZ to the working group's detriment, or so it's been perceived. So Stefan and Jeff, like I said, would like to see some version of this motion go through. And the big problem with the motion, as I understand it, from their side of from their house, is this question of asking the staff to implement the proposals. While it is still a milestone report, before it's been reviewed and before the final report's been prepared. So I have comments, but I just want to leave it there and see what your reaction is.
Okay, just for the last comment, the motion says investigating the implementation. We are not asking the staff to implement.
To begin working on implementation, and that is a problem for a lot of
I think because we had discussion with Avi about that, so that's why we put investigating the implementation. We know that the contracted party will say no to implementation. And also, that's the question. If the contracted party asks that just works, don't delay the new GTLD program, and at the same time, don't allow to be proactive and starting at least to investigate how those recommendations can be implemented, I think that's a tactic to I'm not sure that's an incoherent position from their side. And Okay, Afri, just I also want to reply to about the hijacking from ALAC of the jazz working groups. Okay, ALAC are more present than the GENESO, and they are more proactive. So they already commented, approved the report, and we after 1 month, the GENESO Council didn't approve yet the report. So it's not hijacking. It's more the GENESO Council didn't, the GENESO didn't show a real interest in on the working group, and that's the perception of many members and the working group, and also spend a fair time talking about procedure more about, and we have discussion if it's policy or not, etc. I am really in the worst position. I am trying to defend the GENESO position in the working group, and in the same time, I have to support all the bad will in the GENESO Council about the work of jazz working group. Sorry, Avi, please.
That's okay. I just wanted to, if it's okay with Mary.
Sure, go ahead, and then I'll come back to myself.
Yeah. I think the first thing, I think there had been an intention to change the motion, as Rafiq said, to asking the staff to investigate implementation details, et cetera. And I sound that sounds like a perfect area for, at this point, with whatever confusions it took so that the motion reads as it does now, for there to be a friendly amendment. Mm-hmm. On it to, you know, to change that to something that they can accept. I think it makes sense, as Rafiq is saying, for the staff to start investigating, because some of these things require process, require time, require this, and to ask the staff to start looking into it and deciding, coming back with comments, which ones are impossible, which ones can be done, and this is exactly what was done during the new GTLD policy mm-hmm. process itself is,
right.
You know, the staff would sit there and say, we can do that, no, we can't do this, but this, et cetera.
Right.
On the ALAC activity, speaking as a member of the at-large as well, they have taken this very seriously. They've got lots of people that are working, other than just the chair, on the jazz working group. They've got, you know, people who participate and contribute. The GNSO essentially doesn't. The GNSO refused to even look at the first milestone report and has delayed on doing the second one, you know, even though there was a sense of it needing to be hurried, there's been a delay. And so looking at the GNSO's behavior, certainly from my perspective, is they've been putting up obstacles and obfuscating and not being at all supportive of this process since 2-3 meetings ago. Thanks.
No problem, Aubrey. Thanks. And before I respond, is there anyone else who would like to be in the queue?
Yes, can I be in the queue? But it's a very straightforward question, Mary. This is Konstantinos. I'm just wondering, and I might be naive here, why is the GNSO stalling such a very important process? Thanks.
And my response is that because I think there has been confusion in the Council and some obfuscation, I think Avery is correct, as to the process versus substance issue. And at the same time, because there's so many other projects and comment periods and reports and schedules that have come through, I honestly think that for a lot of the members of the Council, this is not an important issue for them or their constituency. They just haven't paid attention. So I think it's a combination of largely inattention and indifference with all the other stuff that was going on. Having said that, I think what Stefan has said to me is that it's very important for us to support Rafiq. I know he personally wants to do that. I think I said he and Jeff, too, would like to see some version of this motion go through. So at the end of the call today, I said, you know, if Rafiq doesn't mind, I'm happy to try and propose a friendly amendment that they can take back to their folks because the motion as is not going to go through. So I just don't know what you guys think about that because I would like to see this thing move forward. And I think, actually, that Stefan, having been on that last call, I think it sort of helped him understand a lot of the things that Rafiq's dealing with. And I see my part on the council and in the chair's list as separating out the problems that some councillors have with community working groups and their processes generally from moving forward with the JAS work. And I've been trying to do that with individual people. Like I said, though, we're talking about a few councillors. The rest really don't care that much, unfortunately.
Thanks, Mayor. Sorry, Bill. Please go ahead, and I will go afterwards.
Bill, what was that?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Thank you for that, Mary. And I do understand that, you know, there are way too many things on the plate. But from what I have been hearing at the GNSO council meetings, and I have to admit there weren't too many, is that there might be issues of miscommunication, and my understanding has always been, and I know that, the traffic has been more than available in answering questions that the GNSO, presumably, or the members of the GNSO had in relation to process, in relation to substance, in relation to how this working group has been operating for such a long time. And I find it actually quite concerning that the GNSO, even the ones that do not pay attention to such a very important issue. So my question basically is, I'm wondering better yet, why, if Rafiq is available at the other end of the email or the line, haven't those people or haven't the GNSO, and I'm not sure whether you can answer that actually, approached Rafiq in order to clarify those issues? Thanks.
Yeah, and I'm not sure I know the answer, Constantinos. I do know that the questions that answers were provided for, people did go through them. I think there were a couple of follow-ups that I've lost the thread of myself. So maybe Rafiq has an update.
Before that, this is Avery. Can I announce that a couple people have joined us? Dee Dee Halleck, David Cake, Robin Gross, and Wendy Seltzer. Thanks.
Well, welcome. Bill, were you next in the queue?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
okay. So I would really like to believe, Barry, that it is truly just a matter that the other house has been inattentive, indifferent, or preoccupied. But I've always had the feeling, and certainly if we could all say that, and it would lead to a face-fitting amendment process that would allow us to go through without being watered down too much, then I'd be happy to merrily carry on with that story. But I've always had the impression that the shenanigans around process-based objections to this and other community working groups by extension could not really be completely disentangled from the fact that they didn't like the principle, and this is what I perceive, and if I'm wrong, you can tell me, that they just didn't necessarily like the principle that this process needed to build into it socially oriented safeguards geared towards needy groups in developing countries. I just have always had the impression that that's not something that they would prefer to be happening, for the same reasons that most regulated companies don't necessarily prefer to have the responsibility, for example, telecom companies, to cross-subsidize universal service or so on, that you're saying to businesses, fine, you can go ahead and make a lot of money, but we also expect you to meet a set of social obligations that bite a little bit. And my impression has been that they didn't like the biting, and we're going to fight tooth and nail against that. But it seems to me clear that they should now understand that that has not been an effective strategy, because clearly there are people on the board who would like something to happen here. And so now they have to recalibrate. And if we can recalibrate by saying, oh, it was all just a misunderstanding, and, you know, they missed their opportunities to ask Rafiq for clarifications and all that, then, you know, that's fine. I'd be happy to put that gloss on it. But I'm not sure it really captures entirely what's happening here.
Yeah, and so I guess to clarify my thoughts, I agree with you on the contracted party's house. I guess what I was referring to is probably those who, the other side of our house that haven't been that helpful or that interested. You're absolutely right that on the contracted party's side, that the whole idea itself was not something they wanted to embrace. I think at this point, though, looking at the motion, like I said, I think Stefan and Jeff would not want to see the full motion fail, but the way it is at the moment, they and their colleagues will not be voting for it. What they will probably be open to is, you know, obviously sending the report to the board. The implementation thing is a sticking point. If we reworded it to say, you know, ICANN staff begin investigating the feasibility of implementing the recommendations that may or may not be acceptable. We could try that and see where that takes us, at least where this motion is concerned. And more broadly, Stefan acknowledges that we do need to have a very frank discussion within the GNSO Council as to how these things should proceed from now on. And what Jonathan Robinson and others are working on in terms of that draft paper might be helpful in that regard. So I think that what I think is best for us to do now is to consider as a group whether a friendly amendment, whether suggested by me or somebody else, along the lines of what I suggested, would be something that we're okay with, because then I can certainly put it to Stefan and Jeff to take back to their groups.
Mary?
Yes, Rafiq.
So, about the investigation of implementing the recommendation, for example, if you recall in the San Francisco meeting, when we have that update about the Jazz Working Group, Carla Valenti, which is the ICANN staff, supporting us in the Jazz Working Group, presented about that homepage designed by the ICANN staff to be a broker between the needy applicant and third-party providers. So, because they have been asked by the board to do that. So, it's an example that the ICANN staff started to investigate implementation of some recommendation. I think that can be perceived. What we are asking is just a continuation of that. So, the board, for example, asked ICANN staff to investigate in one recommendation from the Jazz Working Group. So, we are just asking that others recommendation to be also investigated. So, maybe if we can try to explain that to Jeff, that is not implementation, just to investigate to see if it's feasible, how it will work, etc. And I will ask why they are waiting till now to submit amendments. Honestly, I don't like to receive all the friendly amendments during the call, because it's not easy to decide to make a quick decision. I would like to receive the amendments in prior to the call. It will be really, if I receive them prior to the call, I can perceive them as friendly. But to receive them during the call, I don't really perceive them as friendly. They are just the tactics, and so it's not the best way to work in motion that have been in table, I think, one month ago.
Yeah, Rafiq, and I don't know the answer to that. I think the question now is whether you, on behalf of the group, will accept the friendly amendment, understanding the difficulty it is, and along the lines of what we've talked about, I think certainly if the word investigate was in the motion, it would be a lot clearer, because right now it sounds like actual implementation. So, I mean, I will take my direction from you guys as to whether you want me to go back to them with rewordings or not, or simply say we'll go for it. It sounds like we're open to it. I just don't know how you want me to proceed at this point.
Can I comment at this point?
Can I? Okay.
So let's do Avi and Bill. With Bill, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Avi?
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't know. I think that you volunteering to present a friendly amendment, especially since you're in that leadership group, you were part of that conversation that transforms that one line from begin to implement, and yes, Rafik is right, they already have begun to implement, so what? But basically to ask them to begin the investigation on an implementation plan or whatever. And if you can offer words for that, I think personally, I'm not a council member, I think personally that would be a good way to go about it and hopefully get them to actually have something they can vote for. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. Bill?
I had the opposite advice, so that's you can make a decision at the dialectic of Bill and Avery on this. My preference personally, since Rafik does feel, and I think without, I mean, I think it's entirely justifiable that he's taken some heat here, and since he has been the chair and the main GNSO person of late in the process and so on, for me, I would rather that he take the lead in putting together a friendly amendment and do so in consultation with Stefan and Jeff if necessary. But, I mean, I guess my only concern would be that if we have a process always where somebody objects to one set of NCUC, NCSG counselors or whatever they're doing, and then starts to go to others to work around and come up with a resolution, I think it sends a not great procedural message. Rafik has been our lead representative in this process, and I think he should be the guy to amend his own motion in consultation with them.
Thank you.
Hear, hear. I agree.
So, Rafik, would you be willing to take Bill's suggestion and work with Stefan and Jeff, contact them after this call, maybe?
Okay. But just I want to say that when I needed to have a second for the motion, I have discussion with Andre, and he too suggested some amendments. So he only accepted to be the second if we can have some amendments to the motion. So I am keen. I will discuss with Jeff and Stefan about that. That will be easy to understand what they want exactly, so we can work in the world. I cannot submit amendments about things I'm not sure what they want, what they are looking for. I will be happy to receive to discuss about their amendments and then working to rework them and in a way that can be accepted by all sides.
Yeah, and maybe we can do this on email, too. I mean, my suggestion would be to rework that sentence about the implementation. That seems to me to be the prime sticking point. And there was another question as to whether, you know, we actually mandated to put something up for public comment, but I don't think that that's as problematic. So I would actually suggest, I'm going back to them with the suggestion that for that line, when it says request ICANN staff to begin working on implementation, that ICANN staff begin investigating implementation and see if they'll take that. And if not, ask them to come back with suggestions. That would be my suggestion, Rafik. Anybody else?
Sounds good to me, Mary.
Yeah. So I guess on this point then, so we're talking about this motion. Avi, did you say then we go back and talk about the other items on the agenda? Okay, so let's see.
Right to Jazz, since you weren't here and Rafik was, so yeah, I would suggest going back through the rest of the agenda and the motions, and then we'll get to, the parts where I take the chair back and we talk about all the other issues
that
got discussed. And I'd like to also, while I'm talking, say that Ron Wickersham has now joined us. Thank you. Back to you. Okay, oh, well, and people, yes. Please remember to say your names when you start talking, if you haven't been just said. And Avery, please talk. Thanks.
Thank you, Avery. So this is Mary again, and I'm just going to go through the items on the agenda. Please shout if you have a comment. I assume nobody wants to talk about the administrative matters, but under item 2, pending projects, I would welcome comments on both that item generally and specifically to the consumer choice issue that Rosemary is leading on. I don't know if she's on this call, but she will be providing an update on Thursday's meeting. Any comments or questions? Okay. Do we know if anybody else in our group is working with Rosemary on this?
This is Wendy. I volunteered, and there's been no further discussion among the larger group of volunteers. My recollection was that Bruce had given us an update from the board that this was no longer critical because whatever was giving them deadline pressure was now passed, and the next time the issue would come up before the board was a year out. So,
oh, wow. Is the group planning on meeting in Singapore? Or
the group has had no discussions.
Okay. Thanks, Wendy. So I guess we'll just get the update from Rosemary, and if there's any items for our group at the next meeting, we should probably take that up. So item 3, why is this an item 2.4? Actually, the Who is Service requirements on the pending projects list. Avery, is that your and Chuck's document? Avery, are you there?
I guess.
Yeah.
Haven't you guys taken it a step further and created a group that's now working on it?
Yeah, there's a drafting team, and
right.
I'm just wondering if any of us are on that.
I think I'm supposed to be on it. I think I may actually be on it.
Okay. So that's just something that's in progress, right?
I think so. I don't know.
Do we know if there's a chair of that drafting team yet?
I don't think so. I don't think we've met. I think we've been giving our names in, and that's it. So I think we're still in formation would be the answer to that question.
Thanks, Avery. I saw the email for volunteers, but I couldn't remember if anything else happened. Okay. So from Who Is to Who Is, item 3, Who Is Registrant Identification Study. This is something that's up for vote in a motion. Can I ask for any questions, observations, or comments about the topic or about the motion? Which was made by Jonathan and seconded by Barad. Give everybody a chance to read the motion. Essentially, the motion would authorize ICANN staff to proceed with the study under the revised terms of reference, and staff will have to report back if the original estimate of $150,000 is exceeded by more than 20%, and staff would have the discretion to manage the study either together or in parallel with the other studies being done, with the goal of expediting all of them. If there are no comments, I guess the question would be... Yes.
I have a question.
Is that Bill?
This is Bill.
Go ahead.
Hi. Wendy, you had particularly strong feelings when we first went through this about the way this was set up, and I'm just curious if the revised... The revised plan for this makes it less unpalatable to you, or did we hear from Kathy Kleinman about this before she departed? What if she had a take on the revised charter for this process and so on?
This is Wendy. This was revised to eliminate some of the worst features of this registrant identification study. I'm trying from the motion page right now to find the current revised terms of reference, and at the moment it just says insert link, which is less than helpful.
Yeah, it's not there.
So, I was taking cues from Kathy, who seemed to think it was much improved through the discussions they were having. And I've been in touch with Don Blumenthal at PIR, who's also following up with the policy work there. And his recommendation was that this was improved to take off some of the rough and ugly edges that it had had. I'm not sure whether... we know that my initial preference to abandon all studies has no substantial support from among the council. So this is probably better than it was and supported by enough of council that it doesn't really matter what we say in this vote.
Thanks, Wendy. This is Mary, and just to follow up on that, I believe Kathy was on the group that drafted the revised terms of reference. So with that and with Jonathan proposing the motion, my assumption was that she is fine with it, or as fine as can be. And I agree with Wendy that it'll probably be overwhelmingly be supported by a lot of the council. So unless we have any pressing issues or something jumps out at us or some other reason to not support it, I would assume that many of us, if not all of us, would vote in favor. Are there other comments or questions?
Does anybody, I'm sorry, I don't mean to, since I don't remember myself having glanced at it, only does anybody have any sense of whether what ugly aspects remain if many of the most repellent elements were softened, what remains that would be problematic?
So this is Wendy, and to me the very premise of the study is misguided. I don't think that there's anything in ICANN policy that discriminates among or should discriminate among types of registrant, and so I don't see what we gain for our policymaking by learning more about types of registrant. I think it's more likely to be used for discriminatory purposes, like saying that those we identify as commercial registrants are treated differently, or those we identify as individual registrants are treated differently, something that I don't think is supported by lots of the legal frameworks in which ICANN sits, or common sense. But I'm trying to find the latest to see further detail.
So I guess the question, and this is Mary jumping in while Wendy finds the material, is whether we either vote in favor or not, because either we support it or if those of us who haven't followed it, if there's some kind of reason why as non-commercial voters we would not vote in favor, despite Kathy's reservations seemingly having been allayed by the new terms of reference. Any comments on that? Not back to you, Wendy, if you found the material.
I haven't. I would welcome anyone else to search for it.
This is Bill. I guess I would just say if Don and Kathy felt that it was reasonably unproblematic, I hear what Wendy's saying about the discrimination, although that's presumably several steps away. I mean, at this point, simply identifying different actors doesn't necessarily lead to that result. So in, to the extent that it's going to pass in any case, and to the extent that probably NCSG would be divided on this vote anyway, you know, everybody's free to do what they want, but it's not obvious to me what, unless somebody feels that they're going down with the ship on a principle, I'm not sure I can defend it.
Here, this is Wendy, and I finally found in an email Liz Gaster sent to the council list on May 20th, document saying summary of changes to the WHO registrant identification study terms of reference, and most significantly changed from hypothesis-driven study to exploratory study, clarified that there are many different types of legal person, eliminated deciding whether domain has commercial purpose, now just document commercial activities. It seems to me that there's much less risk of bad judgment calls being made, at least by those doing the study. It's still plausible that people will use the study to make invalid hypotheses but and conclusions, but it appears we're calling for less of that in the study itself.
Thanks, Wendy. Thanks, Bill. So it seems like for this item, maybe there's no particular pressing reason for a block vote on our part and our rules, so that our councillors vote according to the best of, you know, their judgment independently, and this may well be one of those things. So if there's no other comments on who is registrant identification study item 3 and the motion, we've discussed item 4, the JAS issue. Item 5 is community working groups. And this was mentioned previously. There is a drafting team led by Jonathan Robinson that's due to give an update in terms of coming up with a report that they will present in Singapore with guidelines and recommendations for these kinds of working groups going forward. Are there any comments or suggestions from councillors or anyone else on the call on this point? Any points that anybody would like us to make on the call if that doesn't come through on Thursday?
This is Aubrey.
Go ahead, Aubrey.
Yeah, I guess I have 2 points that I think sometimes sort of get lost in the discussion. First of all, all working groups, all GNSO working groups are already supposed to be multi-stakeholder affairs. Everybody and anybody and everybody that's appropriate to participate by some definition of appropriate is needed to make a working group appropriately diverse. So at its base level, all groups are already, you know, multi-community. So then the next issue comes up to who charters such a group and where does it get its authority from? And I think when you have two groups as chartering organizations, you should be going, as JAS has done, to the union of the two chartering organizations. Now, if they can agree on a common charter, that's great. But if they can't, then it's those things that are, you know, empowered by one and those things that are empowered by the other has to be the issue, not the limiting of a group by going to the intersection where only things that are in both of them. And I see absolutely no reason why there should ever be the ability of one chartering organization to block the work by saying, sorry, we don't approve it, therefore we don't care if you approve it, you can't send it on either. I think that would be, you know, sort of a death knell of any such a group. So if anything says that, I think that's something that, well, of course, we need to discuss as you know, as a stakeholder group. My personal opinion on it is that we should definitely discourage anything that tries to make it an all-or-nothing proposition. Thanks.
Thanks, Aubrey. Any other comments? Okay, so essentially it will be an update that Jonathan will give on Thursday with the next steps to follow. And as I said, the drafting team aims to provide a report in Singapore, so there'll be an opportunity for us to weigh in between tomorrow and then, and possibly thereafter as well. So item six, the PDP work team, which is presenting its final report for the council to consider. And again, there is a motion. I'm sorry about that, my phone's ringing. And the motion essentially acknowledges receipt of the final report and initiates a public comment period. Further, that the council takes action on the final report as soon as possible after public comments close, and that there would be a summary provided by staff to be given as a primer so that future PDP work group members will know what they're getting into. Speaking personally, I don't see anything particularly scary about this motion. I don't think the chairs anticipate that much discussion about it, but I'd open the floor to comments and observations that I may have missed. Anyone? Okay. I know that there are a few members who were part of the team, including Avery, and there was some email traffic on our list about that, and I think Avery, you are the one who said that the group played nice together eventually.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah, I think we did. I think, you know, I have a lot of respect, and I'll say this on this call, I have a lot of respect for Jeff when he's in his I am a neutral chair and he's got that hat on, and in fact I think he's a perfect exemplar of the importance of that hat existing and that command for chairs existing, because he's a wonderful chair. The group really did work well. There are, you know, it's the compromises. It was all done through consensus of everybody at least acquiescing to what went out there, and we all agreed that the report was an accurate report of what went down. So, yeah.
Thanks, Avery. And since the motion would put the report out for public comment, certainly individually or as a group, we can weigh in on specific recommendations there as well. So that's up for voting tomorrow. What's not up for voting is really interesting is the IRTP Part B Working Group Final Report, which was also provided to the council. It was open for public comment. Public comment period closed, and there were some, I understand, some slight modifications made to the report, but not extensive ones. A motion has been presented, but it's not going to be voted on. And I understand the reason may be because there's a couple of councillors who have some issues with the report itself. So once again, comments and questions on IRTP Part B. All right, well, if there are none, since this motion has been presented for discussion only, in some form or other, it will probably surface in the Singapore meeting, so we can talk about it further then to the extent that issues come up that are identified during the council call this Thursday. So the last substantive, fairly substantive item on the agenda for the council this Thursday is an update on the Singapore meeting prep. And that's supposed to be given by me. I should say on this call, Avery already knows this, that I will not actually be on the call, so I would need to appoint a proxy from our group for the votes that come up. But just to give you all a quick update, Glenn and I have been working on the schedule, and it has been difficult, to say the least, for a number of reasons, partly because of the board GAC meetings, and partly because there's a lot of briefing sessions that need to take place at this particular ICANN meeting, not just on the applicant guidebook, but on a number of other issues that are being worked on by the community. So it's been challenging, to say the least. We have asked the council to provide us with suggestions for the various council meetings with the board, the GAC, and the CCNSO. None have been received. So we're going to restart that discussion. But essentially, the schedule should be circulated to all councillors within the next couple of days, probably before Thursday, and any changes made will be updated and given to everybody as soon as we get them. Right now, I'd say we're about 80% there. Any questions, comments, or requests?
Mary, this is
yes.
Bill.
Yes, go ahead, Bill.
I have two questions. One, the Katim's meeting on the notion of a building towards a sort of a summit on developing countries in ICANN at Dakar. He, as you've seen, responded to our request to change it to Wednesday. So does that not conflict with anything else, first of all? Yes?
It only conflicts
yeah.
with one small thing.
Well, it's one small thing, and what was that, Aubrey?
It's a CCNSO thing on its PDP, which happens to be a conflict for me, but I'll just skip the CCNSO thing. And then the CCNSO meeting all day. But other than that, it's not conflicting with anything.
Okay. And then my...
No, hold
yeah,
on, hold on.
It was,
what time was the meeting that Katim...
Wednesday at, I think it was...
14.
Let me... It's, he sent me... Oh, here, Stefan sent it to the list also. 1230 to 1400 on
right.
Wednesday. So it's a lunchtime meeting on Wednesday.
Yeah. Okay, just confirming that because I'm opening the schedule that Glenn and I are working on just to confirm for you. And, yeah, that it doesn't conflict with anything else that we have on our agenda at the moment, as Avery said. Thanks. Sorry, and you had
okay.
a second comment.
Yeah, the second was on the House. Are we having a meeting with them on Sunday? Or not. I've seen little great appetite on anybody's part for this, but it was originally listed. I note also that we've all received a message from Bill Graham to all the counselors saying that he understands there are some important GNSO meetings scheduled during the week and that he would have liked to participate, but he arrives Sunday and he hopes he can see us. So I don't know if we wanted to do anything about that.
Can I comment on the House meeting issue?
Sure. Avery, you go, and then I'll put myself in the queue after you.
Yeah. I don't know. We certainly won't have an agenda for one. I'd be amazed if we did. I expect that if there's a slot for it in the schedule, then I will show up for it. And if other people do, that'll be good. And if anything develops before then, you know, I can let you know. But I would certainly not show up, you know, I would not show up if there was one on the schedule because otherwise it would end up a CSG-only meeting, but, you know, they would find a way to make decisions for the House. So, you know, but there
okay.
was no agenda,
I guess
and I haven't seen one.
I guess the point I was making was about Bill's message was that he's not going to, I would have thought that if there was any real reason for us to meet at this point, it might have been to talk with him as our board member.
Why?
And he's not going to be there anyway.
Yeah, why would we do
so,
that?
Well, I wouldn't
the
say
house.
There's
I don't
a need.
I said at the House meeting thing. I mean, but hey.
Okay. Fine. So then there is no demand for this on our part, correct?
Actually, I was going to say, Bill, and Wabi, this is Mary. One of the things that I would like to talk about, the problem is the timing, because it'll be after the deadline for motions, is the RAA amendment issue, because that is still kind of floating around out there since two motions were defeated. I think there's still some appetite on the part of some of our side and some folks on the CSG side to take it up again, possibly in a different form. And it seems to me that a face-to-face would actually be the best way to hash it out without endless emails. So in terms of substantive issues, I certainly think that would be one. And there may well be a couple of others. So
where,
the other things that you guys...
Mary,
have,
where is...
Yes.
Where is that outreach been done by CSG?
I don't think they've done any outreach because everybody's been busy. But I know how I left it with Christina and Steve was, okay, we need to figure out if we want to do something more about it And we said, okay, maybe, you know, Singapore might be a good place to do it. But that was just pretty, you know, no promises, nothing. It was simply something left hanging. And staff has asked me whether anything's happening. And I was like, I don't know. So, I mean, we don't have to do anything. But it seemed to me that we do have members who feel very strongly about the issue. It may be that CSG no longer feels strongly about the issue. But as long as we have members who feel strongly about the issue, and CSG were strong allies on that, I just thought it might be a good topic to bring up.
Mrs. Barbara, can I comment?
Yes, Avery, go ahead.
I think you're right. I think that if there is interest in that as a topic, it means we have at least one agenda item. And if people are around and there's a meeting on the schedule, I think we have something to put on the agenda. I'm sure there are other things. I didn't think they cared about it anymore. So I didn't think that that was a very important issue to them for some reason or other. I've certainly given up on the G Council on it and have started trying to bring it up in ALAC and other places and get it on the board docket of issues to be dealt with. But I've sort of given up on the GNSO taking action on it. But it'd be great to see the House actually take a position.
Go ahead. Is that Wendy?
It's Dee Dee, actually.
Oh, Dee Dee. Go ahead, Dee Dee.
I'm not sure this is the proper place to ask this question, but I just wondered where it might be appropriate for the non-commercial users constituency to make a statement or have a discussion about the appropriation of domains. There recently on May 29th, the immigration, the U.S. Immigration and the Customs and Enforcement Agencies took down 125 domains. Now, these were having to do with copyright infringement, etc. But what is the policy of allowing different states to take down domains? Has there been any discussion of that? Because if it's not for copyright, then it's for other freedom of speech issues. So I just wondered if this is something. I'm not going to be in Singapore, but I just wondered if there is any place to discuss this. What I see is really tending towards total appropriation of the Internet.
Can I comment, Aubrey?
Go ahead, Aubrey.
Yeah, I think it's actually a really good issue. I don't know, and maybe and Ron, who I think was in that last bit of RAA group, my comment, I don't know that it ever got discussed within the RAA context. I certainly think it's a great thing to do within the NCUC context, and Ron, was there ever anything within the RAA context that this could hang its hat on, though it's a great statement to make anyway?
Abby, this is Mary. You meant as part of the recommendations by the RAA group?
Well, if it ever even, I don't remember it being there. And so it's a separate discussion to bring up. I was just trying to make sure with Ron whether there was any of the topics within the RAA recommendations that this kind of related to, and I couldn't remember. And was there anything within the registrar agreement amendment and the law enforcement attachments that you know, people want and such, whether any hooks had been put in or had any discussions put in about the ease with which, as Dee Dee was asking, you know, government agencies could pressure a registrar to do something and what responsibilities that registrar had to the registrants in such a thing. And so looking at that issue in its more abstract sense, I was wondering whether there was anything in the current RAA that opened up that topic.
That's a great question, and like you, I can't remember. It's been a while since I looked at the report.
Well, Ron, I think, was in that group, so I was hoping he...
Yes. This is Ron Wickersham. If you were addressing me, then no, I wasn't in the
you weren't in that one. Okay, you were in a different one. Sorry, my confusion.
So, I mean, what occurs to me is this, that I mean, clearly in terms of what ICE is doing, that there's provisions in U.S. law that would allow them to do that. I think the question that's more relevant to the ICANN environment is what you said, Avery, in terms of whether there's anything in the registrar agreement itself, and regardless of that, in terms of what it is that registries and registrars are faced with. It seems to me that we could do two things. One, going back to what DD said, to issue a statement on the part of the stakeholder group. I don't think it'll be a House statement because you're not going to get CFD to sign it. We could try, but, you know, sometimes...
Yeah, you don't think IPC would go for this one?
Let's just say I'm different on other... I do copyright in my day job, so I've heard a lot more about this than I care to. And by the way, I'm giving a presentation on the same panel as you are, Bill, when we talk about ACTA and stuff at the IGF, so I need to do some homework. However, as an NCSG, we might want to look into a statement, but also possibly, Avi, I don't know what our schedule is for the Singapore meeting. I think you're going to talk about it later. Would it be helpful to ask someone from the registry and registrar stakeholder group to spend 10 minutes with us explaining to us what their side of that fence looks like when they get notices like this?
Sure. I mean, I haven't started really putting together the agenda for the NCSG section. First of all, on Dee's statement, I think she originally stated correctly, and you know, for an NCUC statement. If NCUC has one, we can certainly check with, you know, the rest of the members and the two other candidate constituencies to see if they buy into it. But it really does seem like it would be best created from the NCUC constituency and then go on to see who we can get signed on. I certainly think adding a registrar, you know, inviting one of them to come, and probably would have to be both topics. You know, not only this topic, but we probably also want to talk about the negotiations topic. And you know, I don't think we'd want to do just one. Does that make sense to you?
This is Mary. Avery, that makes perfect sense to me. And I wasn't meaning to stray from the topic, but it seems to me that we've pretty much concluded the GNSO Council's agenda. So maybe what I need to do at this point is hand the chair back over to you, and we can continue this discussion either now or when you come to prep for Singapore.
Yeah, we did jump pretty quickly to Singapore.
My fun.
Wendy, here with one more addition if we're sticking with this subject.
Go ahead, Wendy.
Which is that another aspect of the domain takedown issue that I was discussing a bit with people in San Francisco was tying it to security and stability, because easy domain takedowns, not at the against the wishes of the registrant, undermines the security and stability of domain registration. And so it's in all of our security and stability interests that there be procedure and due process accompanying these demands. I don't think we're going to be successful saying, you know, there should be no circumstances in which a state can take action against unlawful activity that happens leveraging domain names. So I think our better course is going to be to argue for strict due process and registrant protection in those circumstances.
Excellent. I think that's a great way to put it. Yeah.
Great.
That was DD, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Dee Dee. Thanks, Wendy. So, Avery, over to you. And
okay,
chair.
Thank you. So, just want to make sure that there are no other issues or questions on the GNSO Council agenda. We've got basically a maximum of 40 minutes left on this call. So the next was review of issues from working groups. I think we already pretty much covered Jazz working group fairly well. I don't know if there was anything left to be said about that at this meeting. Quickly, no. Any other working groups that anyone is ready to report on?
Aubrey?
Yes. Yes, this is Ron. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ron. Anyone else have one? Mary?
Mary, yeah.
Okay. Anyone else have a working group to report on? Okay. I guess I heard Mary first and then Ron. Mary.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Aubrey. And I assume by working groups you include drafting teams and
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, any other working, drafting, whatever.
So, and I'm on that standing committee for implementation or improvements as you are, right?
Yep.
So I just thought a quick update to folks that we've done a conference call of the drafting team according to the draft charter that was drawn up and approved by the council. We're having our first face-to-face meeting in Singapore on this Saturday morning. But beyond that, Ari, I don't know if you want to talk about the chair and vice chair election for the...
Oh, sure. Go ahead. I'd forgotten all about that. Put it right out of my mind.
I wonder why. So there's an issue. Well, it's not an issue, but for the most part, the SCI, even though it's a standing committee, so it's not a working group that forms and then disbands after a project is over, but it follows quite a lot of the working group guidelines for working groups, which means we have to elect a chair and a vice chair that needs to strive to be neutral, I believe is the language. One of the issues that Avi raised on our call and that I supported her on was, you know, whether the chair and the vice chair could come from the same stakeholder group. And I think it's fair to say, Avi, there were some divisions of opinion on this.
Yeah.
And
there was two issues I brought up. Yeah, it was the second one.
Right. And there were a couple of others, and I'm sure you could jump in and if anything I missed. So the people that we've got three nominees for the two positions. Of course, I nominated Aubrey. And then the other two are Wolf and Philip Shepherd, both nominated by, was it Ron Andruff, Aubrey?
Well, I think, I don't know if Ron actually nominated Wolf.
Okay, somebody did.
Wolf was sitting as the chair,
yep.
Or as the interim chair. Now, I tried to basically say he should be the liaison with the council, but that was pretty much taken down by Ron Andruff and some others, basically saying we don't need that formality. So it's really funny. Here's a group that's supposed to review how other group mechanisms are working, and the first decision it makes is it decides not to follow any of the rules. But anyway... So I don't know if anybody's going to be reporting on this at the council meeting, but it'd be great to do so. So then they said, no, we don't need just the chair and vice chair. We'll serve the liaison role with the board, with the council, if they happen to be on the council. And if not, well, we know one of them will be. So then they decided on elections. I actually nominated someone from the registrars because I felt that there really should be, if not even cross-house, but cross, you know, stakeholder
mm-hmm.
group, but he rejected the nomination. So, and, you know, as Mary was saying, no agreement that the chair and vice chair couldn't come from the same, that this is a small team. We don't need to be formal. We don't need to worry about that stuff. And
that took me by surprise, I have to say, Ari, all that, not the sentiment, but how it was expressed.
Yeah, and beyond that, they decided that we don't even need to do the one-year terms like we do in most groups. We're going to do two-year terms. And you know, at that point, it was sort of like, well, they've taken this one over. But anyway, but that's not really a problem. I'm not expecting to prevail in the election, by the way.
Do you think you might get the vice chair?
I doubt it, but we'll see. Anyhow, back to you.
No, that was just the update. I mean, and I think I share your pessimism. As to whether or not it will have any real effect, we don't know. I did raise the question of the term limits, and it was kind of interesting that it was too. So that's kind of where we are. We've all got a ballot. I couldn't say what would happen. I mean, obviously, I'm going to vote for Ari, but it may pan out that we will have two commercials in the chair and vice chair seat, which might just mean that Ari and I have to work a little harder.
Well, they have to both be neutral then, hey.
They have to strive to be neutral, that is
correct. Right, so, yeah, no, I think it'll work out. I actually don't think it'll make a difference in the long run. In fact, I think it may end up being, you know, relatively uncomfortable for the chair and vice chair to both be from the same stakeholder group, but hey, we'll see.
So, and we'll make sure that happens if we need to. But so that was the update, and I guess I don't know if folks have comments, because the other update I had was just from the UDRP group. which I think most people really know already, that there's the issue report that's been prepared out for public comment, and there will be a panel during the Singapore meeting that would follow up on, first of all, the first webinar that was done last month. And by the way, Constantinos, I thought you did a great job. That was really, overall, I thought it was a good session, and I enjoyed your presentation. Secondly, that the panel will also follow up on public comments received between whenever it was out and the panel itself. So the intent really is to try and get this done as inclusively and as effectively as possible. So that's my
Sorry, Mary, this is Constantinos. Have you, when you finish, I can jump in.
Yeah, I'm done with my update, actually.
Okay, thanks. This is Constantinos. Thanks, Avery. Very briefly about the UDRP, actually, Mary, you know, it's correct what everything what Mary says. The public comment period is merely lasting until the 15th of July, and I am thinking of writing something from my personal capacity and on behalf of SDUC, which, of course, I will circulate to the list for everybody to be able and make decisions or amendments. I have also requested from Margie, she emailed all the participants at the webinar asking whether they would be, first of all, in Singapore, whether they would be interested in participating in the panel. So I have said that. The panel is on the Wednesday morning, very early in the morning, if I recall. And generally speaking, I'm not sure whether you've read the report or you're aware of what's happening. The second half at this point is suggesting not to open the UDRP for a review. And generally speaking, at the webinar, there was quite a strong support against reviewing the UDRP. So actually, we will have to see what's going on, and that's the update I wanted to give on the UDRP. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Constantine. Any other questions on Mary's update? Okay, in which case, Ron.
Yeah. Yes, this is Ron Wickersham. On the PEDNR working group, it has essentially concluded the final review of the public comments, and so it's just the actions are just the final form of the ending report. This is the only working group I've ever participated in, but the other participants have indicated it's a very long-lasting, a long-duration group. I'm not sure that we accomplished much of what would be of interest for NCUC or NCSG, but at least we toned down some of the issues. What did come out of the group was a new consensus, consensus of an absolute, well, they don't like to use the word right, but an absolute ability of a registrant whose name has expired to have an 8-day period within which all registrars and would be required to have a renewal basis. As you may or may not know, there was little agreement that there even was a problem about renewing a domain name after expiration. It doesn't affect a lot of people because most people do renew on time. But of those who are affected, it can be a mess, primarily because there's so much variation from one registrar to another, and even resellers, because there's no regulation of what to happen. So on some cases, your domain is deleted an hour after it expires. so the so it is some progress to have an 8-day period that all registrars will be required to do it. Now, I guess as the working group, this is only a recommendation, so it would have to get approved. But there was little help to get that extended to a larger number, say 30 days. And in reality, some of the larger registrars do allow 30 to 40 days for recovery. Now, there is a formal mechanism once it's deleted that you can get it reinstated, but those are with very high extra charges, which are out there. The one thing that I was disappointed in the whole thing was not to get a position that having uniformity of what a registrant could expect after expiration, independent of which registrar is in use. They all wanted to have so-called business practices. So you end up with these extremely long registration agreements, which virtually every registrant doesn't understand. So the mechanisms are quite so even though the registrant education is the key to getting understanding, education means that for every registrar and for every reseller, there's a separate education. So a central, simple guideline of what to do can't exist. And they treat that as sacred to the registrars as being something that they are competing against with each other for. We got lots of assurances from registrars that their primary motivation was to get domain names to renew, and total dismissal of the idea that they would be overjoyed if they got, or they're not overjoyed when they get huge amounts of money when your domain expires and is put out to auction. They say, oh, well, our whole goal is to do the renewal. So that's another potential abuse that was not acknowledged or being able to be put in the report. So at any rate, I think the group is winding down its stuff with a little bit of maybe progress that will affect non-commercial people who do get their domain name expired by ignoring emails or perhaps changing their email address and no longer using what is listed in Whois. So they will have a brief period to get a chance to renew without getting into the highly expensive grace period following deletion. Okay, and that's about all that I can say for that.
I have a comment and one question also, though. Are there any other comments and questions? Okay. My comment, first of all, is actually to thank you. You have stuck with this one. You've come into it. I think you've become a subject matter expert over the time on it. You've also, in terms of the way you've always, come and reported at these meetings of what's going on, attended those meetings, and actually got, to sort of see your way through I Can't Process. I think you've provided a really good example of people coming in and doing that. So thanks. I just wanted to confirm one thing that I think I understand what you're saying. I think you are recommending that our council members, as time goes on voting on everything, that you are basically in support of this report being, the recommendation being approved. Is that correct?
Yes, that would be correct. I thought of doing a minority report on a couple of issues, but I don't. But they're actually, I should say, I have missed the last two meetings, although I reviewed them through the email and through the things due to a health issue and the deadline for making a minority report. But if I were to make a minority comment, it would be just inconsequential, I think, just to, I think having the consensus of the whole panel probably makes sense.
Okay. Any questions or issues on that? Okay. Thanks again. Any other working group updates or to give? If not, moving on. The next thing is review of issues from constituencies and candidate constituencies. NCC, Constantinos, is there anything you want to bring up?
No, not really. I would just like to the people actually that are here to encourage them, and I know that Avery is going to raise it soon, to encourage them to submit comments and questions for the meeting that the stakeholder group will have with the board. I think that this is a great opportunity for us to discuss with the board and exchange views and make some of our views visible to the board. Thanks, Avery.
Okay, thanks. Any questions for NCUC? Okay. I don't think we have representatives from either of our candidate constituencies. Amber was on, but she's now listed as disconnected. Is there anybody here from NPOC? Anybody here from the consumer constituency candidate? Nope. Okay. In which case, then I'll move on those. Review of stakeholder group issues. Not that much. We just finished yesterday the community comment on our charter. There were two comments, both of which I think were interesting. One was basically worrying about if we allowed a large organizational member to be in three constituencies, was there a risk of capture, and we'll have to respond to that comment after they're thumbed. My personal view is probably not, but if it was a problem, it would be a problem between constituencies, and therefore it was a problem that would fall within the executive committee to deal with in some way. But I don't think, and you know, once we've got the comments to respond, and perhaps others have an opinion, I don't think it's something that we need another bylaw rule for, nor do we want to use that as a reason to limit the number of constituencies an NCSG member can join, but that'll be a discussion. The other comment we got was one from Roberto Gaetano saying that he thought it was a good charter, and he had one issue, which was he thinks that the way we did X votes for large organization, X votes for small, and X votes and one vote for individual, and the way it was expressed in the charter was a bit confusing, and it would be better if it was explained in the language of weighted votes, which, you know, seems quite reasonable to me, and that's not a substantive issue, it's just a clarity issue, and it's one that, you know, I'll be curious to see what the staff and legal who's been helping make sure the words were right and the Structural Improvements Committee thinking about that one and whether they ask us to change it. And I'll certainly follow through with all of you on that. And in terms of its getting approved, I am expecting it. I've been told by Ray that it should be on the Singapore schedule. And if everything went well at the beginning of the week with new GTLDs, the board will even have time to do stuff like that. So I'm hoping that that's good news on that. Any questions for me on that stuff?
Okay. Can it possibly be coming to an end?
It could. Which brings me to the next thing, which is the work I've started to do in terms of, A, make sure I have an authoritative members list, and it does seem that starting with last year's members list, I got the new people that came in through the NCSG, but I don't have lists of people that came in through NCUC, and I even seem to have lost a couple long-time NCUC people. So we're in the process of correcting that. After I got that, I will be putting together the list of voters, and we'll be doing a check with the list of voters. This is to get prepared for three votes we have coming up. I already sent notice to the list on this. One is our charter that we approved says that, you know, any new charter negotiated with the board has to go through our vote. So we will have to do a charter vote on that. I will be following the procedures in the charter about finding out which members are active and which members are inactive, so that when we're meeting the conditions of 60% of the membership have to approve charter changes, we know what the membership is. Then we have the election for the first NCSG chair. I've been chair of the executive committee acting as an NCSG chair, but this will be the first one that is for the chair that defined in the new charter. And we have to elect before the next face-to-face meeting, before the end of the year, we have to elect four council seats, three of which will be for 2 years, one of which will be for 1 year. The executive committee will be putting out a process on that. What I'm recommending and what some others have recommended is that we have a long list of candidates. The top three candidates will get the 2 year terms, the fourth candidate will get the 1 year term, etc. Some of our current counselors are indeed qualified to run for another term. So that's something. So I'm in the process of getting all of that done. There's a possibility, if the timing is right, that we can combine the elections for the new chair and the election for our council members in the same voting event. If I can, I'd love to do that. If I can't, I will do the one for NCSG chair as soon as I can, and then it'll be the NCSG chair who's elected to take the next election if I end up splitting it like that. So that's where that's at. Any questions on any of that? I went through it quickly, but and I'll keep writing long emails to the list explaining what I'm doing as I'm doing it. So just make sure your entries are right. Okay, no questions on that. Then I move on to reports from the review teams. And I see we've got David with us. You're one of them, right?
Yep.
Yep. So can you give us an update at all?
Only about our team.
Well, yes, of course. That's the one I meant.
Yeah, the SSR. Actually, things have been going fairly slow so far. I think I'm on the wrong sub-team. My sub-team chair has not been very focused on the process, I think. But we should be putting out sort of recommendations for, you know, documents we need and people we need to talk to and starting to get stuck in at Singapore. We're quite busy. Unfortunately, we've got a meeting with ESSAC during NCUC constituency time, so apologies in advance. A lot of the focus of the team seems to have gone into relationship with the GAC in particular, and there's quite a lot going, and we've just started to do actually start liaising with the GNSO security committee that's just started. What is it, the SSDA? So the SSR team is moving slowly, but we should be very busy in Singapore. Has anyone got any questions?
No, any questions for David? Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll have plenty more as the...
Right, yeah, no, it's, I'm going to have this as a sort of permanent slot in the periodic agenda. So, you know, I can switch it around, but, and that doesn't mean you always have to be here, but if you are, that's great. If something
yeah, these meetings are always very late at night for me, so...
Okay. Well, actually, these meetings should rotate. The one that's scheduled, what we're scheduling them to the convenience of our counselors when they think they can make it. So when Rosemary either does or did hers, it should have been at night. When Rafiq does one, it should hopefully be comfortable that time. But I'm sorry. But we're trying to share the pain on the meeting schedule by moving around with the council members that are doing the primary part of the agenda.
Yep, appreciate it.
Okay. I guess on another team we've got Rosella Mattioli. She's on the, which team is she on? Who is? No. But anyhow, she's not here at this meeting, and that team is just starting. So. Okay. I guess the next brings up the prep for Singapore. The meeting, I guess, NCUC has a meeting, morning meeting slot. The NCSG has the afternoon meeting slot. During our slot, we do have our audience with the board. And the way it's set up is we go to the special room for board audiences and meet with them. Now, the way the meeting is proposed is that we suggest three questions to them. They suggest three questions to us, so we will be receiving theirs at some point. We need to be able to send them ours. I think it was by the end of this week I needed to have something. Today being Monday, I think I need to have something by the end of the week. Now, I have the three questions we offered up the last time we thought we were going to meet with them, but the meeting was canceled. I haven't looked those up yet. Has anybody... Constantinos, do you remember what our questions were last time? Does anybody remember it or have the email in front of them?
Abby, which email?
Hi.
It was a long time ago. It was before the last meeting. It doesn't matter. We had three questions.
I suspect they'd change.
Huh?
Wendy suspects that the questions would change by this meeting.
I suspect, but perhaps not necessarily. But what I was thinking of doing is I will find those three. Constantinos has offered two already. I will take any others that get offered today and tomorrow. Wednesday, I will put together a doodle listing all the questions anybody's come up with over the next 2 days, and then I'll take the top three, or I'll present the top three on the list, and I'll give people like 24 hours to pick. So it's, you know, you got to want to do it. Get in there, make a pick, then I'll suggest the topics on the list. You know, there'll probably be a day or so where people can say, and I know this week is getting very, very long, but where people can say, reword it, say this, say that, and then I'll send off questions. So over the next couple days, I will try to get the questions done, even if I don't quite make Friday. So I give everybody like 2 days to suggest themes, and does that work? Anybody have themes now? That could work too. Yes, Bill.
I was just going to prompt you to, if you have, I don't see that you sent a message about this to the members list. Am I wrong?
Message on this several days ago, a week ago.
Did you? Okay, I'm not finding it.
Right.
Maybe
it wasn't quite a long ago, it was a week ago, but yes, I did. And in fact, it's in response to that that I think Constantino sent a couple.
Okay.
But I'll check it. I'll send it out again. I'm not looking
at my just to give people
it's
a
under
shot.
Proposed changes to constituency day. It's that whole thread.
Okay, that subject line might not have pinged
well, I'm
everybody.
So sorry. I'm terribly sorry, Bill.
I'm just saying.
Anybody got
maybe we can get
topic?
More people.
I'll send another message with a plainer title just so I'm not obfuscating. Anybody have any topics? Anybody else want to speak to this? Anyone else want to...
Wendy suggesting that there might be some pointed questions we can ask about new GTLDs.
Pointed questions
will be the
what?
Subject on the, of the week. New GTLDs.
GTLDs? If people have them, please suggest them. Send them to the list, and I'll accumulate them. I'll write down GTLD titles, new pointed GTLD. Though I expect that they're going to have polished answers for like that, like wait for Monday. But anyway, anything else? So we've talked about trying to get an invitation out to one of the registrars to come in and talk about that. I'm not sure this late date what I can get, but I will send an email off to, you know, the chair of the stakeholder group and ask if, because I don't think we want to plan a joint meeting at this point. That would be really hard at this late date. But to see if there's someone they could send in to just talk about the topic. Or do people think I should be asking for joint meeting this? They do one with ALAC, but I've never thought to schedule one. Any comment on that topic? Asking them to send in someone to talk good enough to start? Am I alone?
Is it registrars?
This is registrars, yes. To talk about the RAA issues, basically, tell us more about, you know, why you don't want us in the room, and the issue that Dee Dee brought up and Mary reinforced on, you know, the whole process and expectations and such with government agency ordered takedowns.
Uh-huh.
Domain takedowns. And basically
so
on those two topics. Yes, Dee Dee.
This is Wendy. And
oh, Wendy.
I think it would be great to have a meeting with them rather than ceding that to ALAC. Because I
Right. So you would actually like to have a joint, try to ask for a joint meeting with them at this point, or just at some point, and at this time, just to ask for someone to come in and talk?
Yeah, perhaps for this meeting, suggest a just a conversation preparatory to a joint meeting.
At the next ICANN
meeting, because I think that there are places where our two groups have more in common than we've seen in the past, and I also think that they're wrongly getting beaten up by a fragment of ALAC, and we could be a voice of sanity.
Yeah, and I think a problem they have with our house, and where some of the things were in common with IPC, like you got to talk with us in the room, but in some things, we're on very different positions, like how easy it should be for a law enforcement agency to come in and get whatever they want.
Right.
So there's a lot of places where on sub-themes, and so, but it looks like it's just the House hates registrars, and that's not the case. And I've tried to tell them in private conversations that, you know, you really should try to work with us more. So this will be another, a more formal overture of that sort. Anything else on Singapore that people want to see in the agenda? Topics that, one set of topics will obviously be whatever is going to be voted on in the council. I'll basically go through the normal stuff like I do in these meetings, working groups, you know, constituencies, what they've come up with that morning, et cetera. Are there any specific topics? The other thing I had in there was also, we had a couple action items last time, like the work AMR was going to do and others. So just to get reports back from that, see what there is. Hopefully we'll have a lot of people on remote. I understand not that many people that we saw in San Francisco will be flying there. Some will, but I'll try to be good about the remote participation part.
Aubrey, this is Mary. Can I ask a question?
Of course.
Are we doing that meeting with the GAC? Did I miss an email, or did you cover that?
The NCUC plan, that was an NCUC plan. I have no idea what's happening with that. Constantinos?
Yes, thanks, Avery. It's Constantinos. Unfortunately, it appears that it won't be happening, and the reason is, I mean, I don't know what the reason is, emailing Alvaro, who is the whole thing. But, and we had an exchange of a couple of emails, but then he completely went off the radar. So, and I emailed him twice or three times, and he still hasn't responded, so it looks like it's not going to happen.
I think Alvaro may have been... I think there may be a new Brazilian representative. I'm not sure. I think he got a new job.
Yes. Alvaro's moving.
Right, so that's why Alvaro might not be responding. But why he didn't pass it on to his next one, then again, I don't know if there is a next one yet, so that may be the issue.
Not yet.
Right. Okay, so that's it's fallen into that hole, I expect. But it seemed like the upshot is nothing is happening with that, at least not in Singapore.
Thanks, Constantinos. Thanks, Avery.
Anything else? Any other questions? Okay, I thank you all for coming. Encourage your friends to come to future ones. I guess we won't have another one until after Singapore. So I look forward to talking to you all and seeing you all and safe travels and everything else. And then afterwards, I think they'll be on a monthly schedule because the GNSO, in a very self-congratulatory format, realized that they no longer have as much work to do as they used to, so they've moved their meetings to every 3 weeks, to every 4 weeks. Since I map these meetings to those, we will therefore move to the every four schedule unless we find a reason that we need another meeting of our own sooner. I'm really glad that this GNSO was able to reduce its workload, and maybe now they'll be able to catch up with ALAC on reading documents, acting on them. Having had my bit of post-meeting snark before the meeting ended, anything else from anyone? In which case, I thank you all, and I'll talk to you.
Thanks, Avery.
Thanks, Avery.
Bye-bye. Bye.